You'd be surprised how little it takes to make them happy.
That's right.
Especially them been in there a long time. I go every week and I buy some little journals, daily planners.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with them. They like to get them. They might. I told them you might smoke it, do what you want. But I bought it for you. It's yours. But buy these Bible search word puzzle books. Yeah. Ain't but a dollar. The big old thing is a dollar store. Boy, they love them. You know? Last night, between me and Brother Ike, we had just an armload of stuff, and it went just like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's a blessing to be able to share with them. Amen. And, you know, maybe why some of them come, I don't know, and it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah, I just thank God for the privilege of being able to preach to them. Amen.
Amen.
And we don't mention it often, but that's the ministry of the church.
It is.
And that's something that you have a part in. All of us have a part in. Amen. And what a blessing it is. We were talking about seeing the King. Amen. Well, there won't be no use going if we don't get to see the King.
That's right, man. Brother.
Jesus said if you just give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward.
Yep.
Amen. Well, boy, just think what happened if you give a Bible puzzle book. Amen. We give stuff to try to encourage people to learn about the Bible and stuff, and boy, they just eat that up.
Amen.
Because I'm quite sure that they need things to do and all. But anyway, what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, I'm going to try to be brief tonight. And you all know how difficult that is for me. But it's Wednesday night, and Brother Ike or me wanted to hurt people's feelings. They quit coming. But but you're here, and that's what's important. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I'm only picking. All of you that know me long know that I carry on foolishly sometime. All right. I want to preach to you tonight for a few moments about when Jesus passed Mars. Or you could ask the question, does God really want to reveal himself? Does God really want to reveal himself? Well, Paul got in some trouble. Got run out of town. He's waiting on his buddies to come meet him, Silas and Timothy. And in verse number 16, he's in Athens waiting on them. And the Bible says in Acts 17:16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. Boy, that reminds me of America. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers, don't you like to say that word, of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I've been called a lot of things, but thus far I've not been called a babbler. It may happen tonight. Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus, now notice, and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. If you can just get folks curious, you can preach to them, you know that?
Right.
You just got to get them curious, amen. A lot of church folks, they get bored, and so they're not curious anymore, and it's hard to get anything out of them. It is. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, look at this, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Yeah.
Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Now, if you look up that word superstitious in your Strong's Concordance, you'll see that it's literally the word religious. Now, it may seem strange, but if you're religious without Christ, then you're just superstitious, amen. And I think that's the implication of that word. And verse 23 said, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. I'm glad somebody told him that. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Amen.
And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. And I like this. Though he be not far from a few people.
No.
No. Though he be not far from every one of us.
Right.
For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device, that which they were worshiping. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what?
Yeah.
Repent.
Yep.
Because, this is why we need to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which are Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Amen. You get a few folks curious about God and get the chance to preach to them, then some of them are going to respond, hallelujah,
amen,
to what you've got to say. And that is the work of God. Well, here we are on Mars Hill. It's named after the Roman god of war, whose name was Mars. The Greeks, you notice that word Areopagus. The Ares was the Greek god of war. And so here we see on this hill of superstition and religion that Jesus is passing by in the person of Paul for declaring war on all those that know not him. Amen.
Right.
Now the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. But Paul, preaching Jesus and the resurrection, is doing all that he can to reveal to these people God Almighty. Amen.
Right.
Now, for some reason, the world thinks that we have something to offer it other than the gospel. Friend, that's not our business. It's good if we can help people in a physical way and do things. That's good. But son, that's not what our ministry is. The ministry is preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And if I only went to the prison to give out booklets and things, then I'm wasting my time. I do that because I'm going to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. That is our ministry.
Right.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the God who loved us before the foundation of
right.
the world, and the work that he's done for us is in order that we might fellowship and come to a knowledge and relationship of him. Amen.
Right.
And so as he passed by, all of these altars that were erected to these gods, and some writers have said that there was approximately 30,000 that they had, and there's a long story behind that, but Paul found one whereby he could gain opportunity to talk to the people about Christ. And upon that altar it said, to the unknown God, amen. And Paul, using that, said this, well, now I'm going to use this altar because this is a God I won't tell you about, the very one that you don't know. That's what he did. And so we find some things that were revealed in here as God reveals himself to these people. First of all, Paul in his preaching revealed their ignorance.
Yep.
Now, that's not a pretty word. And people get mad at you if you call them ignorant. Amen. Mm-hmm. I've always said, but thank God there is a cure for ignorance. Ignorance just simply means you don't know something because you haven't had opportunity to know it. There is no cure for stupidity. When you got it, you got it, son. There just ain't no cure because most people who got it, they don't want to be cured. But you can be helped, amen, if you're just ignorant like me. Hallelujah. Huh? Now that's good news. And so he revealed their ignorance of God. That altar had upon it the unknown God. Later on in the chapter, he said, you're this time of what? Ignorance, God, weak that. He said, pertaining to this altar, he said, whom you ignorantly worship. Huh? They didn't know him, so they didn't know how to worship him, did they? Amen?
Right.
And so, like most people do today, they choose their own manner and mode of worship and are not concerned about the right way. Amen. But I want you to notice three things about these people that the Apostle Paul revealed as being ignorant. Amen. Number one, I want you to notice that they were dedicated. They were a dedicated bunch. Mm. Look in verse 23 there. He said, for as I passed by, I beheld your, what's that next word?
Devotions.
Devotions. That comes from the word devoted, which means, friends, to be committed to something or someone, amen, and therefore be dedicated unto them. That's what happens when we get married, amen. We're no longer spread around, but we're dedicated or devoted to one, amen. That's what marriage is all about. At least that's what God said about it. Man's making his own definition today, but these people were dedicated.
Right.
Now, you're not dedicated to anything unless you are serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
But the problem with that is you can be serious if you want to, but if you've got the wrong foundation and the wrong information, then all you're doing really is wasting your time.
I see.
Amen.
Right.
But they were dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Jehovah's Witnesses are dedicated, son. They come to your door and knock on it. And many times as you have them, they'll come back. Amen.
Yeah.
Would to God we Baptists were dedicated, you know. That's our number one problem in the church is God's
right.
People being dedicated because they don't understand that this church is their ministry.
Amen.
And they're a part of it. And
right.
So I won't tell you, there's a lot to do. And a lot can be done through a church. Amen. You just need people that are dedicated
Amen.
To Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You get that. Everything else is going to fall in line. They were dedicated, but they weren't just dedicated. They were educated. Ooh. Now you call an educated person ignorant, and you liable to get in a fight. Look in verse 21 there. He said, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You know what they were interested in? Learning. Learning.
Right.
Now, Alexander the Great, he had a tremendous goal in mind, and that was to Hellenize the world, named after his mother, Helen. And son, all the world became Hellenized. You know why this New Testament we have is written in Greek? Because Alexander the Great Hellenized the world. And the purpose of that, friend, was to educate people, which was good. And to bring people together through a common language, which was the Greek language. And that's why we have this Bible in Greek. It was the language of the day. that pretty much everybody, including Paul, were able to speak, amen, no matter where you came from. And so these people stood around waiting to either tell or to hear some new thing. We're talking about education here, amen.
Right.
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said that the gospel was foolish to people in this world. He said to the Jew, it was a stumbling block. But to the Greek, he said it was what? Foolishness. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Why? Now, you see, when a person considers himself, and that's the way most people are, educated person and friend, they got a problem taking things by faith. Because proof of something is the exact opposite of faith. Faith is accepting something simply because God said it.
That's right.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why we've got such a problem today in this world, why churches are diminishing, why they're going down. I know we've got all these mega churches and all this hoopla and the doopla, all this going on, but son, you just drive through the countryside and look at the churches. You're going to find the majority of them are filled with a handful of elderly people, and in 20 years they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just spoke with my best friend in Mississippi, Jack Taylor, and he went up to Branson, and he said, as they went up through Mississippi in the northern part through the Delta up there, said, saw plenty of lots of little country churches, and said, only a handful of people in every one of them. Same situation there, amen.
Yeah.
Why? We become an educated people, and therefore, we don't think we need God anymore. We figure this thing all out scientifically, amen.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
They were dedicated. They were educated.
Mm-hmm.
But they were alienated.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm.
Verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now that word repent is the word metanoia. Meta meaning to change, like metamorphosis. Noia having to do with your knowledge and your mind. It means to change your mind about some things, amen.
Yeah.
And what causes a change of mind about something is knowledge and revelation, amen. Knowledge not of the world, but knowledge that comes from God, amen.
Amen.
And so the world is covered in ignorance because it doesn't know about Christ. But what has happened is that education has entered into the mix, amen, and it has made people not have a desire to know Christ. I want to tell you something. You live in a bad world today that hates us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know you live in Bonifay, metropolis of the South, but son, I want to tell you something. You get out there, you're going to find out there's some people that hate you and me.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Yes, there,
you better believe it. And you can't have a conversation with them because they're going to call you every dirty name in the book, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, you can just forget about that, huh?
Right.
But God passed by Mars to reveal Jesus Christ, his son, through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, his ambassador. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only reveal their ignorance of God, but he then revealed the identity of God. People think you can just have any religious and all roads lead to heaven. Boy, how many times have I heard that? Wrong.
Wrong, right.
All the devil would like for you to believe that message, but I won't tell you something. You best not. You best not is God's people, amen. They were ignorant of God and had no idea about who God was and would not know that if he wasn't revealed unto them. Amen. Huh? Amen. And so he revealed him, first of all, as the one who created all things. Amen. He is the creator of all that is. Verse 24. God that made the world and some of the things that you find around there laying about. No, he said all things.
Oh, yeah.
But not just here, amen. He said, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in a temple. Amen.
Amen.
God doesn't need this house to live in any more than he needed the temple of the Old Testament or the tabernacle. The Bible teaches that now he dwells in our bodies. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. That's where he's chosen to abide during this New Testament era. But he says, listen, I want you to understand something. The God that you know nothing about is the God that created everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds simple, don't it? Well, I called my buddy in Mississippi called me this morning. He calls me once a week. And his wife works at the newspaper there on the Gulf Coast. And so he had the newspaper. He said, Murphy, I got to read you something. I said, well, read on, son. And he read me a little bit out of the newspaper. I said, well, I'm going to find out about that. So I went online and found out where it came from. It came from the Washington Post. And it was concerning something that Pope Francis said. You know who that is, Frankie boy, don't you? The article was this: Pope Francis says evolution is real and God is no wizard. Sound like we're on Mars Hill to me. Here's what the article said. This is what the Pope said, quoting him. When we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician. It's funny, I've never had that problem. With a magic wand able to do everything. You don't need no wand. I've never thought that. He said, but that is not so. He says that God created human beings. And so far, so good. And let, L-E-T, let them develop according to the internal laws that he gave to each one, so they would reach their fulfillment. Now, son, I want to tell you something. If that's true, some of us have missed the boat. Huh?
Right.
I know some people ain't developed at all. A lot of them out there in the prison, ain't they? Amen.
Yeah.
But that's what the Pope says about God creating man. Here's what he says. God's not a magician, but the creator who brought everything to life. Well, now, that's kind of contradictory of what he just said. Here's what he said. Evolution in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation, because evolution requires the creation of beings that evolve. I don't know what spell book he got out of, but he didn't get out of his Bible.
That's right, brother.
That is not where it came from. Now, this caps it off. In other words, to borrow from an earlier Enlightenment idea, God is more than a clockmaker, is more of a clockmaker than a conjurer of miracles. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God knows how to make a clock. Now, son, that's words from the man that is the representative on Christ, the vicar of Christ on earth to the Catholic Church. Now people get mad at me and say, you ought not say that, but I want to tell you something. I've been convinced for 25 years that the Pope is going to be the false prophet, so you just throw that out the window if you don't like it.
Yeah.
All of the great reformers believe that the Catholic Church was the Antichrist. No, the Antichrist is going to be a political leader. But he's going to be backed by a religious spirit. And all it's going to take for that to come to pass is what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Where does persecution all? In Acts 17, read it, where he went to Thessalonica. Everywhere he went, who were his enemies? Was it the idolatrous Romans? No. It was the Jews, the religious people. I've got news for you, friend. Our persecution, the world may hate us, but it don't want nothing to do with us, but religious people are going to persecute us, and you better keep your eye on the Catholic Church. Now, they're having a synod over there of the 200 bishops at the Vatican. They're going to come out with a new revelation next year, but they released a brief of what they've been talking about. This also from the Washington Post. I want to read you what it said. Vatican reports on homosexuals' stunning change. Homosexuals have gifts and qualities to offer the Christian community. Are we capable of welcoming these people, guaranteeing them a fraternal space in our communities? Often they wish to encounter a church that offers them a welcoming home. Are our communities capable of providing that, accepting and valuing their sexual orientation without compromising Catholic doctrine? The document says helping people mature. Y'all come to Brother Ike, let him help you. Our job is helping people mature regarding their sexual dimension. Now, y'all don't come talk to me about it. You come talk to Ike about your sexual dimension. Said it is an important and educated challenge to the Catholic Church. I'm telling you, boys and girls, you better get ready.
Yes, sir, brother.
You're living in dangerous times. And I've always said, whenever they change their doctrine, you can ask my friend in Mississippi, I've said it for years and years and years. I said, when the Catholic Church changes its doctrine concerning homosexuality, you and I are going to be in deep trouble. Now, I got news for you. The Catholic Church has been full of homosexuals for I don't know how many decades.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting to you, or maybe disgusting, that you never hear of little girls being abused in there? It's always boys by priests. Now, son, that's more than a pedophile. That's a homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I'm preaching that while I can because I won't be able to preach it too long. It says here, he's the one who created all things. But not only that, he controls all things.
Yes.
Now the Pope would have you believe that God created life in that mud hole and he put certain internal laws in motion so that that life would form in that mud hole and we'd come out. And one day here we are, buddy.
Oh my goodness.
If that were true, I'm quite sure that God would look back and say, these men were much more amusing when they were monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He controls all things. He said, "We live and move and have our being." That's what Paul said.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. What does he control? First of all, he controls human tribes. Look in verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Don't see no place in there for the monkey men. And hath determined the times before appointed. Now listen to this. And the bounds of their habitation.
Amen.
He controls the human tribes. Go back later on and read Genesis chapter 10. And you see all the forefathers in the Bible tells where they dwell. You know, that didn't happen by accident after the Tower of Babel and the confusion of the tongue. God had already predetermined where all those people were going to live. You know, it's not a surprise to God that you're living in the United States of America tonight.
That's right, brother.
Why? Because, son, he had control of that. Amen.
Amen.
But it said also in that same verse, he doesn't only control human tribes, he controls human times. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Look at it. And hath determined the times before appointed. Amen. Guess what? God knew when you'd be born.
He sure did. Amen.
That ain't all, son. God knew where you'd be born.
That's right. Believe that.
I'll tell you what, more than that, God knows when you'd be buried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Boy, you know what? A God like that, I'm going to put my trust in. Because he's got all this thing wrapped up and in his control, amen. Now, that don't mean I'm going to sit back and just slide down the hill, amen. I want to be a part of his work that's going on, amen. That's it. I want you to know something, brethren. It's not man that's in control of this thing. It's not Obama, not the Prime Minister of England, Israel, Iran, or anywhere else. Amen. It's God that's in control.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons, my friend, I believe this book, amongst many. The Bible talked about Israel's position in the last day and the nations around them and the situations. And son, if you watch the news, you're seeing it every morning.
Yes, sir. Right.
And that ought to make you understand that, son, God's in control. He's got everything lined up. And when he gets ready, he's going to come back in them clouds that we sang about. Amen. Hallelujah. Why?
Yeah.
He's in control.
Yes, he is.
Psalm 31, verse 15. He said, my times are in thy hand. Amen. Now listen, I want to tell you something. You ought to take care of yourself. You ought to eat right. You ought to take vitamins if that makes you feel better. Whatever. I want to tell you something, son. You can drop dead with a wheelbarrow full of sandwiches, vitamins, and everything else in your gut.
Yep.
Okay. And I've always said I want to die on a full stomach. And if I get shot, I want to be in my back because I'm going to be running. But I need you to know God's in control.
Yeah.
That tells me something else, son. Nobody or no thing can ever kill one of God's servants until God's through with
it. That's right.
Now, I might die tonight, but that you just simply say, well, God's through with that old ignorant man. Amen. He controls the tribes of the earth, the times of the earth. He controls the territories of the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he does.
That's our God. And he says he's revealing himself in nature and in providence and in circumstance. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. If God did what the Pope said, what's God been doing all these thousands of years? If he set everything in motion to take care of itself and him not be involved, what's he been doing? Knitting? Has he taken up needlepoint? What's God been doing? Well, the Bible doesn't teach that kind of trash.
No.
God's been involved, and he has been involved before the foundation of the world. How in the world can a religious leader say something so ignorant? Amen.
Right, brother.
Reveal the ignorance. Their ignorance of God. Reveal the identity of God. But then, in verse number 30 and 31, he revealed the imperative of God. He said, we spend a lot of our life in ignorance. But the time comes a time, brothers and sisters, when God reveals himself to us.
Yes.
Now, God's obligated himself to do that. Every man, boy, and girl is going to cross paths with God one day. Amen. And so when that time comes, that time of ignorance we had all of our life, God winks at. Amen. And that's past. But now!
Right.
What now? The time that is being revealed to you Greeks, to all of you under the sound of his voice, he said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Right.
Change your mind about religion. Change your mind about the unknown God.
Amen.
Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
All right, what does God require? Number one, God requires reverence.
Yes, sir.
What's the first commandment? He said, I am the Lord thy God, and you'll have no other gods before me. God commands reverence. Look in verse 29. For then as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold and silver and stone, graven by art and man's devices. Amen. Huh?
Amen.
God requires repentance. Now, you know, preacher, I don't know why we have to preach. I just need to apologize right now for preaching repentance. That you must change your life. I've got news for you. You can't change your life. But when you repent, you have a change of mind, a change of heart about God, and you turn from that sin to him. You never will till that mind is changed. When you turn to him,
amen,
then, my friend, he enables you to live
right
for him. Amen.
Exactly.
God commands repentance.
Right. Amen.
And then one final thing. God requires reckoning. Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. Now, how many does that include? Everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all going to stand before him. But how is he going to judge the world? By man's standard? Mm-hmm. By society's standard?
No.
By the discernment of the Supreme Court? Mm-hmm. They're wearing the right colored robes. Black. Huh? In righteousness.
I see it.
By that man whom he hath ordained. The one I'm preaching to you about.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
I see it.
Huh? Now, I want to ask you, after having read that chapter, does God want to reveal himself?
Yes.
Ha! Son, he's been revealing himself. Anybody that's got eyes to see and ears to hear, amen. I was on a lawnmower the other day. I've only wrote two poems in my life. This is the second one. Some reason riding that lawnmower, things just come to my brain. But as I got to thinking about all this, because it troubles me. The title of this poem, I think it goes right along with the Pope. I believe I send him a copy. By the way, did anybody see on the news or in the paper how many Bibles had been sent to the Houston mayor that subpoenaed the sermons of the preachers? Somewhere between 500 and 1,000 Bibles has been sent to City Hall.
Amen.
And that's just since this started, so there's even more that are going to come. Amen. Title of this poem is Mud Holes and Monkey Men. They say there was a time about 3 billion years ago. At least that's what they taught in school, but I don't think it's so. There was no person, you can be sure, no sea, no sky, nor land. For this was many years before Mud Hole or Monkey Man. Then all of a sudden a star exploded. We really don't know why. The pieces flew, the debris grew, and became what we see now. The end result, the stars above and lava deep within. Now we're getting ever close to mud holes and monkey men. As the planet cooled and nothing ruled and the dark began to fade, the water gathered, the foam it lathered in an amino acid glade. Then there was no need of a bucket nor a faucet or even a can, for we're just approaching now the dawn of mud hole and monkey man. In the mud, the minerals smother and interact with one another. The lightning struck amongst the muck and gave us our first mother. The microbes chided and cells divided and multiplied again. Now you know the story of mud holes and monkey men. Back in eighth grade above my head, by the way, this is true. Back in eighth grade above my head and hanging on the wall were drawings of the Java Man and a hairy Neanderthal. You must believe, the teacher said, even though they're only pen. The truth is that we all come from mud holes and monkey men. And now our children grow up thinking there is no eternity, no heaven, no hell, no afterlife, and no accountability. There is no right, there is no wrong, and there certainly is no sin. A sure result of teaching them mud holes and monkey men. Now this is their school, it is their rule and manner of their life. They hurt, they wound, they kill again with drug and gun and knife. They need to know before they go, their hearts we need to win. Expose the lie before they die of mud holes and monkey men. For there is a God in heaven who we all must meet one day, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, who died to make the way. Heed the call, respond today, and then you'll understand. There is no future, there is no hope in mud hole or monkey man. Now, Christian, do you believe it, or have you also been deceived? By education, confirmation, the lie that's been received. Without knowing your beginning, you can never know your end. This is why I tell, I will not dwell with mud holes or monkey men. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.